A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons. On the programme, we begin the season of Lent. I chat to Sean Murphy about his journey to the priesthood, and I link in with Martin Kennedy, looking at the overview of the church in Ireland today. First up, Yulia Spillane is working with Casey in Killarney. Yulia is married to an Irishman. She's from the Ukraine, and I want to check in with her 2 years into the full-scale war and the arrival of a lot of Ukrainians to Ireland in need of asylum. Yulia, you're very welcome.
Hi, Mary. I came to Ireland back in September 22 with my Killarney native husband. Before that, we lived in Berlin for 10 years.
How did you meet your husband?
In Berlin.
Lovely. And what were you working at in Berlin, Yulia?
I'm a trained social worker. I studied social work back in Berlin. Immediately after graduation, I started working with asylum seekers in Berlin. And then when the full-scale invasion started in February 22, I started working with Ukrainians, with Ukrainian refugees in Berlin.
So do you have a lot of languages?
Well, I have German, English, Danish, Ukrainian and Russian.
Wow, wonderful skills to have. And just from a personal point of view, what do you think of Killarney and living in Ireland?
Oh my God, I absolutely love Killarney. I always loved Killarney, coming visiting my in-laws or future in-laws here, right? But now that we've been living here, I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted. My life has changed drastically, honestly speaking, in comparison to my life back in Berlin. It's the national park, or the family is here taking care of our daughter as well. You know, it's lovely. And Irish people, it's not just a figure of speech. I do mean it from the bottom of my heart. Irish people are absolutely fantastic, friendly, and just nice people to be around.
And you have a daughter.
I have a four-year-old daughter, yeah.
Oh, lovely. In preschool.
She's in preschool and her name is Eilish. Very Irish name.
Lovely. But the real reason I invited you to chat to me this morning is because it is 2 years since the beginning of the full-scale invasion of the Ukraine. How do you feel about that? 2 years of war.
I know, honestly speaking, I have to correct you that it's been 10 years of war now, right? It's very important, I think, to emphasize this. And we are about to mark the 10 years anniversary in like this coming spring. But of course, not so many territories or not so many regions of Ukraine were affected by that first invasion of Russia back in 2014 as in 22. It's hard to believe for you, a lot of Ukrainians, that it's been 2 years now that pretty much entire country has been affected and millions of people are whether internally displaced or they came, for instance, here in Ireland or anywhere else in the world, you know, they had to flee. People are tired at this point, you know, how they were very, you know, adrenaline driven and enthusiastic back at the beginning of the full-scale invasion, and now it's been like it's an ongoing battle, and it looks like it's just gonna become like a long-lasting conflict, like, you know, lots of them happening in the world.
For all of us watching it and hearing interviews about it, we just feel there is no end in sight.
Yeah, that's exactly the feeling that Ukrainians are getting now, and this is where all this fatigue is coming from. That, you know, we were hoping for a quick victory. And at the beginning, maybe there was a slight hope for that. But now there is no end to it. And that's what makes people really exhausted.
It's so sad. It's so hard. How do you think that the people who've come to Ireland, the Ukrainians that have come to Ireland living in Killarney, living even in Kerry Diocese, how do you think they're getting on, Yulia?
Oh, look, because I've been working with these people for a long time now, and I know them personally as well. You know, my best friend in Killarney, she is a Ukrainian refugee. They are getting on very well. It's, again, it's not just even like a common courtesy to say how thankful they are. But for a lot of people, especially families with small children or lots of people with disabilities or elderly, you know, people who fled, who literally, some of them would really lose everything, especially if we're talking about like the eastern Ukraine, which is now occupied. It was a really important thing to move here. All the support that Ireland gave to them, most of all, the safety.
You have traveled a lot yourself, Yulia. Like, you've been out of home for more than 10 years. I'm wondering, at a kind of a lighter level, what are the things you miss from your home place? What do the Ukrainians in Ireland, in Kerry, in Cork, miss from home? 2 years on, let's say.
I think my perspective would be slightly different.
Yes,
because I've actually left home 17 years ago.
17 years ago.
Yeah, but people would miss Ukrainian service, high quality service in terms of like, would it be nail service or going to a restaurant? Waitressing, very quick and efficient and clean. And I hear it a lot from my fellow compatriots, how like they miss the efficiency of Ukrainian e-services, you know, electronic services and bureaucracy, how fast it's done. And I know it in comparison to Germany as well. All the Ukrainians, what they thought of Europe prior to actually coming here and living here, It's completely changed. They see Ukraine as a sort of a good example for the rest of Europe.
That is so interesting to hear. Anything else they miss from home?
I can't even imagine what these people miss in terms of, because I left voluntarily, right? I wasn't forced to flee. But these people, a lot of them would have their, let's say, if it's women, their husbands are back at home, or their parents would be back at home, or their adult children are back at home, some fighting in the war. And these mothers probably have sleepless nights, even if they live in Killarney, in a beautiful county of Kerry.
We've got a lot of the Ukrainian community in Ballybunion, and it has been good for the town. It has been lovely to see the playground used, services used, and it brought life. I also see stress. I see a lot of smokers. I see a lot of worry on people's faces. Am I just imagining that, or do you think that's the reality of the situation?
First of all, cigarettes cost much less in Ukraine than in Ireland. We do have more smokers statistically than Ireland does. Of course they do have worries, but a lot of these worries come with the situation that people might not have found their place here yet. You can't imagine what's going on in their minds, and maybe their loved ones could be on the front line. This is one thing. But the other thing, that people, they stay here, and yes, Ireland provided so many things to them, but the language barrier is still an issue. Thereby, work situation is still an issue for them. And just most of the Ukrainians, they worked, because in Ukraine, you don't really have a social welfare system and you do have to work. And people were working and were successful. They had their lives. That are not the thing here anymore.
Exactly. And so we're looking at situations where people maybe have been living in hotels or whatever. And you're just wondering, this is going on for 2 years now. How can they make a future outside the hotel? How can they get into regular life with some security and stability as opposed to a stopgap situation?
I know that's, I'm questioning the same, because it was just an emergency response from Irish government, right? Putting people in hotels and all this sorts of accommodation. I cannot imagine how you can possibly live in a room, hotel room, with like your entire family for almost 2 years now. And the thing is, a lot of Ukrainians, and the ones that I personally know, they've been lucky enough, they rent or they live in a pledged accommodation under ARP, accommodation recognition program scheme. But the thing is that there is a housing crisis in Ireland, and I don't see a solution for this problem. That's why, I don't know, some of them would want to stay, and they obviously are desperate to get out of the hotels. But at the same time, once it's also a bit of a convenience, because you don't have to pay any bills, any rent for the hotel. But second of all, of course, a huge lack of accommodation. And honestly, this is probably one of the biggest issues for Ukrainians when they look into the future in Ireland. Like, it's a great country. My children love it here. A lot of kids love Irish schools. But where do I live? I want to have a home. You know, some of them would move to Canada due to the lack of accommodation, you know, or maybe go to a different European country, or even go back to Ukraine because they just can't bear it living in a hotel for so long.
What do you feel people should know about the current situation or be thinking?
Remember that the war hasn't stopped a bit. Every Ukrainian, I believe, every single morning, my morning starts with checking the news. And are my parents okay? Because my parents are actually still in Ukraine. Shelling, bombing, it never stops. Every single night especially, you know, it's a terror. We still need all sorts of help, all sorts of support from the Western world, because yes, we do rely on Western support because there is no one else there out there to help us. And we protect Europe because Ukraine is a front line. And I think now everyone realizes, and let's say Germany and the Chancellor is talking about it, that Germany or other European countries might be next if Ukraine is defeated. For Ukraine, it's acute every day, but it went down from the headlines because of different things going on in the world. But it's a terror and it's an absolute nightmare for Ukrainians every single day.
So you want us to keep people in our prayers and continue the support?
Yes, please. Yes. So many people have died, you know, been killed in this war. And we really hope that it hasn't been done for nothing, that we will succeed and we will win.
You can't see solutions to a lot of the problems. You can't see them yourself, Yulia.
I think that housing crisis in Ireland is also like a very long-term problem without a light at the end of the tunnel at the moment, unfortunately.
What are you enjoying about your work?
Now I've taken a role of a social activities coordinator for larger migrant community in Killarney, including Ukrainians, asylum seekers, migrants living in town. We are doing an international walk and talk group. We are doing social club for over 55s. And this is what I enjoy. I enjoy seeing people in a happy circumstances, not in a vulnerable situation, but in the situation where they thrive and when they just have fun, you know.
Yulia Spillan, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning on Horizons.
Thank you, Mary.
Beth Nielsen Chapman, I Find Your Love.
I'll catch your smile on someone's face, your whisper is the wind's embrace, through diamond stars and songs and dreams, I find your love in everything. The sun, the sky, the rolling sea, all conspire to come. From sorrow's edge, life's beauty seems to find your love in everything. I've come to try. Find your love in everything. Even as I fall apart, even through my shattered heart, I'll catch your smile on someone's face. Amazing grace.
Our Lenten prayer. Gentle Jesus, be with us during these days of Lent. Help us to see your goodness and kindness in our family. Help us to love our family more and more. Help us to follow you, Jesus, in all we say and do. Amen.
If you missed the webinar that was on last Monday night, go to our website or to our YouTube channel and do take a look back at it. It was very enlightening and intriguing, and it was great to see examples of how other parishes in Europe are dealing with the scarcity of priests. After the break, I chat to our soon-to-be diocesan priest, Deacon Sean Murphy.